You're listening to the Hammersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. We're offering anybody who listens to this podcast a free e-commerce scale session with either one of us or one of our team members. In these e-commerce scale sessions, we look at five things. Firstly, what's possible. We look at what's achievable in the next 90 days and then the next 12 months. Secondly, we look at the situation. We look at how you're attracting, converting, and delivering what you're working on now. Thirdly, we look at your number one obstacle and what we need to uncover in order to work out what's holding the business back. Then number four, we map out a three-step action plan for help you to sell more products, simplify your e-commerce business, and make satisfying progress. That's what the plan is all about, achieving these things even faster than you currently are. And then five, most importantly, you'll leave the scaling session feeling clear, confident, and excited about taking your e-commerce business to the next level and doing it more quickly. So book your scaling session today by heading over to ecommercecall.com and booking your session with us today. We guarantee this call will be the most important call you make all year. Hello and welcome to the Hammersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are looking at e-commerce subscription businesses and how they can add to your bottom line. So let's get started. Hello, Ian. How are you?
Hi, Mark. Good to hear you. Very well. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah. So today we're going to talk about subscription e-commerce. It's been around for a long time, but it's trending very much at the moment, and for a very good reason. You know, there's a lot of reasons why you'd want to do it, why you'd want to add it. And also, people are finding that they can add subscription elements to the business that maybe weren't necessarily there before. So it's a good time to talk about it. So do you want to just kind of start with Ian, like some good reasons why you might want to think about doing it?
Yeah. So subscription e-commerce, the obvious reason to do it would be around the lifetime customer value. You know, it is like the dream of e-commerce, isn't it? That you pay to recruit them once and then they buy automatically every month. For a year and ongoing. I mean, it's incredible. You know, it is obviously, why wouldn't you do it? You know, it's an amazing, business architecture. Fantastic. Yeah. So first of all, lifetime customer value is incredible, which is obviously the second most important KPI of e-commerce, which the first one is how much does it cost to recruit a customer? And the second one is how much is that customer worth to you over a lifetime? So it's like, my God, they're worth a lot of us over a lifetime. And the second main reason is because if you were going to sell your e-commerce business, subscription businesses are the most super sexy type of e-commerce businesses to sell. And consequently, they have massive multiples and they don't even look at profit or anything like that. They look at how many members you've got and how many, what the amount of subscription is. So the multiple of it is much higher.
I think they do look at profit, but what the multiple of the profit you can get for the business is a lot higher. So, you might typically get a multiple of an e-commerce store if you're selling it by profit, maybe 3x profit. But for subscription businesses, we've seen them go for even sometimes up to 8x profit, which is crazy. So it's if you can add that to your business, you can have a much higher exit point. Do you want to talk about, and we should probably talk about when it works and when it fails?
Yeah.
Should we talk about when it fails first?
Yeah, I think when it fails. So first of all, because I hear it a lot, obviously it's like, yes, let's tag on a subscription element to our e-commerce. And actually, just to say, it doesn't need to be purely what your e-commerce site does, i.e., you know, you could have a normal e-commerce site and then have some products that you sell on a subscription-based system, which is great. So if you are, a Gusto or a, HelloFresh, which is some big subscription businesses in the UK, that's their whole business. Whereas you could have a website selling, men's clothing, and you might have a shaver that you supply on a subscription system. So it can be in that. But when it fails, and I think when it fails is basically because people don't want to buy your products on a subscription business. Like it just isn't the thing that you do. And so the ones that I've seen fail is, I mean, it was probably knocking on for 10 years ago now, but it was a business that wanted to sell employment documentation online on a subscription. So you pay, you know, you pay and you committed for a 12-month program and you get, you know, unlimited access to all of these employment documents. People didn't want, they didn't care about having 12 months access. They just wanted to solve that one problem, which might be a template for something. They wanted to buy that one template, but they didn't want to sign up for a 12-month subscription. They just weren't interested. No matter what the business did, they just couldn't get the subscription element to work. So, you know, that's the biggest thing is, do people actually buy this thing or things or this box of stuff
regularly,
you know? And so what we were talking before, Mark, and I was laughing because we were coming up with some types of subscription businesses that just wouldn't work naturally. Like wedding dresses was one of the good examples we came up with. We wouldn't buy a wedding dress on a subscription. That would be wrong.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to buy like, a wedding dress.
Get a new wedding dress every month. You'd be a bit of an odd buyer. Yeah. And you'd probably be in a very small pocket of people. Yeah. Or a shed. You wouldn't say, here, buy a shed on a subscription business. We're going to give you a shed every month. You'd be like, by the end of the 12 months, you'd have 12 sheds. I mean, that would be crazy. So it needs to be something that people would accept buying over and over again. And I think the employment documents you were talking about, the reason that didn't work as well is because people might not have a need for like a monthly employment documents, but they have a need for maybe monthly contracts. And so that she was competing with people who sold contracts for small business. So someone could go and get a subscription which would cover their whole small business, and then she was only doing employment law. So that was very difficult because it's like, well, you just don't have enough. I mean, you probably have a problem with employment, like, you know, employees maybe once or three times a year or something like that. And then you need something very specific. And so, you know, a lot of the people were looking for like an employment contract and template, and then they've got one, you know, it's like,
they've solved the problem. You know, you know, and that particular one, they're not thinking about the problems. You know, they only think about it when they need to solve it, and then it becomes something they need to solve now. But it's, you know, in terms of subscription, it's, you know, you've got to sell products or groups of products that people naturally buy regularly, and then it becomes a no-brainer. And really, the subscription business, it's really the main player's convenience, isn't it? You're making it easier for people to shop, and you know.
Well,
and,
I think there's two
to think about.
I think there's two. There's making it easier, and then there's also some people subscribe to things for a fun element as well. It's like they are you know. There's a lot of people that subscribe to gifts and stuff to do puzzles and games and stuff like that. So it's like it's a way of kind of having something fun turn up every month, isn't it? So, there's a couple of elements.
People have got to want it. It's got to be something they want. You cannot tag a subscription based element onto something that people don't want. You know, so beauty. I mean, beauty is an obvious one, isn't it? Face creams and, you know, moisturizers and things like that, where you're naturally buying this stuff all the time, and it becomes a pain for you to go and remember, think, oh God, I've run out of, you know, face cream, moisturizer. I did it years ago with the Bulldog men's moisturizer, you know.
Right.
And I did it, and I bought that, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago, and I was buying it sporadically. Oh, I've run out. And then I just, you know, 5 years ago, I just put it on a subscription. And that's five years worth of orders, once a month. It came. I mean, you know, it's obviously an amazing, if you can get that right, you know. And I think with beauty and face creams and makeup and things like that, you know, you get these very, very loyal customers who've bought the same brand of face cream for 20 years, you know, and they're so loyal, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's like incredible. Yeah.
So those kind of subscriptions, it's almost like two types of subscription businesses, that kind of ease of one. So that face cream would be an example of like making it easy rather than you having to remember to do it every month. They're just going to send it to you and that's fine. And then the other type of subscription businesses, which has kind of come around a little bit more recently, it's like when people are putting boxes together for people around the theme every month, which is not about ease. It's more about the fun of it. And I think that there's two slightly different techniques to those, in that if you're selling the box, you know, you really need to build a community around it to kind of like, you know, tie it together and make people feel that's part of a group. Whereas if you're selling a subscription on a face cream and it's just what Ian gets every month, he doesn't need to be part of a community. He doesn't need to be part of an unboxing community going, oh, this is what we're sending every month. And it's like, well, it's the same thing. No one really cares that he's unboxing the same bulldog face cream every month. So I think you've either got a business that would lend itself to subscriptions, you know, like contact lenses, coffee, supplements, those kind of things. And that's like the functional reason for buying into a subscription business, because it just makes sense because people are buying over and over again a lot. And I think you can spot those in your customers by, if you find that you've got a lifetime customer value and people are buying regularly, then offering them subscription probably makes sense because you can see that out of the box. Mm. So the difference is that you might be selling something where you haven't got that, that data in your customer service, in your customer data, because you might be sitting. So let's say you're selling puzzles and games, for example, and you know you might be selling Ludo and Monopoly and a one-off, and you never see the customer again. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can't have a subscription business, because if you put together a monthly, you know, puzzles and games box that would entertain the family for that month, especially at the moment when people are at home, and some of the most trending subscription boxes are puzzles and games, you can then actually create a subscription business onto your business. So but you would do that with, you could do that with a community and saying this is what we're sending out, and unboxing videos, those kind of things. That's what you would do for that. So I think to work out whether or not you are in somewhere where you could have subscription box, if you go and look at websites like CreateJoy and see what's trending, and go into your industry and go, well, you know, I'm selling, I don't know, puzzles and games, and then see, well, what are people doing in terms of boxes?
So basically, puzzles and games? So just to describe, CreateJoy is a website that's just pulls in subscription boxes.
Well, CreateJoy's software, isn't it? CreateJoy actually does the software for people. For do subscription businesses, and I don't recommend people use CreateJoy per se. I normally say people use Shopify and then actually use some of the extensions for Shopify to do it that way. But you can use CreateJoy if you want to. But CreateJoy actually shows a lot of the subscription boxes that they've got. So sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's just really good to see what's selling. So if it's trending well in your particular category, go, wow, that's amazing. You know, and you look on that and you think, God, I would never have thought people are making subscription boxes work based on puzzles and things like that. I mean, right, we have to think, you know, right now we are in a bit of a weird time where everyone's sat at home bored buying things online. But that is fascinating. You know what I think?
Yeah.
Most of the businesses that will be listening to this, e-commerce businesses, will probably be normal e-commerce businesses, and then have some element of repeat business, and they want to make it more. And that's where typically you'll be. And I think there's something really important about that. So let's say you're selling, okay, skincare stuff, and you know you can see that some of your customers are coming back and buying it again, but you want to get more in there. Now, and the same thing, like we had a company selling contact lenses, and that's an obvious one. But if you say to people, right, you can only buy this product if you do a subscription, that's a massive barrier. And, you know, obviously you want them to do a subscription, but you don't want to force them to do it if they don't want to do it. They only want to buy one. And obviously, because if you force them to do it, they don't want to do it, you're not going to get the sale. You're not going to get a customer. Now, before we get on to the fundamental things you've got to get right with a subscription business, which is your recruitment offer, which we'll come back to in a second. The way I think to start it is that if you see that you're getting people buying something over and over and over again, the first thing is, and they're not going for the subscription, you should tell them on the product page what the subscription offer is. so you can let them buy as a singular or an ongoing subscription. Tell them on the basket, so they've got chances to upgrade. And then if they don't, still don't go for it, and they place the order, then there should be an automated email system that's following them up, saying, "Look, you're buying this stuff. You know, every you know, we can see you've bought it before. Most of the customers actually go for a subscription. So you don't want to force people to do it if they don't want to do it. So it can't be a barrier. You know, some people just will not want to buy the subscription. You know, there's a massive amount of anxiety. It's much harder to recruit someone on a subscription business basis than buying one product, if you think about it. You know, all the anxieties people have, you know, all the trust things you've got to do, the job to be done, their offer architecture, all the things that we go through, it's a lot harder to say, yeah, and you're going to have to commit to this for, you know, 12 months. Even if we say you don't have to commit, you know, people are skeptical, aren't they? So you might find that you've got naturally some existing repeat business for your products, and you want to just focus on getting the people that you know are coming back to make it easier for them to do it. And that's the first thing. The process of that is basically using email to do it and then incentivizing them to actually go for the subscription. But ultimately, the most important thing about recruitment of subscriptions, sorry, is a recruitment offer, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely... Yeah. You've got to get that right. And, you know, if you're selling a one-off product, you know, you've got to make the money in that one-off sale. But if you've got a product that's on a subscription basis, you don't need to. You can lose money on the first one, can't you, if you want to?
So, well, once you know your figures, well, there was an interesting lady I was talking to the other day, and she got a subscription business. And on first brush, it sounded like, you know, her figures didn't work that well. So basically she was doing it was a beauty box, and she was doing, you get your first month free as long as you pay, I think it was pay $24 for the second month. And then, you know, you could drop off. So basically you were committed to 2 months and you got your first month free. And what she found is that people tended to do the first month, do the second month, and then do the third month, and then drop off. And that's kind of what people did. And, you know, that doesn't sound like a huge business. You think, oh, well, that's you know, so people are only on for 3 months. That sounds like a short business. But she was effectively putting $1 million in, and then getting, in terms of advertising spend, and getting $1 million out in profit. So on top of the million. So basically she was doubling her money. So she started with $1 million, and then she ended up at the end of the year with $2 million. So, you know, it's actually quite a nice way to, if you think of an investment, it's pretty a nice way to get money back, isn't it? Which everything was, you know, paid for and all that kind of stuff. So I think even from a very simple business model with a very simple recruitment offer, you can actually start doing very well with your multiples because of the way it works. And people forget that they've got it, and they tend to stay for a month longer than they think they would want to because they haven't cancelled it.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about that recruitment offer, and essentially it's understanding the numbers and understanding the drop off. You know, what's the average? How many times people actually stay with it? You know, dropping off, and understanding that, and how you influence the drop off, and how you get them back. And it is an absolute fine art. But you start it, and you know, and continue go and go and look at the businesses that are really doing this well. Businesses like Gusto and HelloFresh. Yeah. You know, the subscription food-based companies, and just see how they're actually doing it, what their recruitment offers are like, you know, drop off, come back, do the trial offer, you know, and I mean, they're very, very sophisticated. And obviously to replicate something like that would be a huge, huge undertaking. But just look at the emotion of it, and the psychology.
Well, you they're know, very, they're very not... numbers-driven businesses, aren't they? Yeah. You've got to really understand your numbers. You've got to understand your churn rate. You've got to understand how, you know, the when people lapse, what it costs you to get a customer, because, you know, that business that I was talking to about, that lady about, it was very unoptimized. She hadn't got any community around it. She hadn't got any reason to stay on the program. And so, you know, if she could actually get people to stay for an extra month, suddenly she gets a phenomenal amount back compared to where she was. So basically she's got 2 months, 3 months, she's increased her profit probably by about 50%. On top of what she was getting. So, you know, it once you know your numbers, you know where you can, it's like, it's a bit like the KPIs, you know, but it's like having the lifetime customer value on steroids, isn't it? So you can kind of go, well, suddenly if I'm going to make this business, that's my lowest hanging fruit KPI. If I can get that lifetime customer value up, which I should be able to do by getting them to stay an extra month or even an extra 2 months, then, you know, it really, really works. Because, I mean, if you could see that people are going to churn after like 3 months, you do a special offer or something to keep them on for an extra month. Say, you know, this month you're going to get this as a thank you. So you basically go, it's going to be month four and they're about to cancel. They're going to get the normal box that they've got. And then you say, look, here you go. This next month, because you've been such a loyal customer, you're going to get this special mystery gift or something in your basket. It might be a lot of people that just stay for the fourth month, just by like little tweak, just by.
And you'll find this out. You'll find this out, aren't you? I mean, an e-commerce subscription business or an e-commerce subscription bolt-on, it's exactly the same as any e-commerce business. You know, the same rules apply. The only difference is you've got naturally a much greater lifetime customer value. And it's a case of understanding the numbers, because the really exciting thing is that the marketing and the fun that you can have with it, because the math work, you know, it's amazing. You could go and do, you know, big affiliate, you know, aggressive fun affiliate offers with you know, these big affiliate sites that's like, wow, that's incredible, and get huge exposure because the math work. Whereas if you're selling a one-off purchase once a year, you can't. The maths don't work.
No.
You know, it's why it's very, very exciting. You know, I actually think, you know, subscription e-commerce is probably one of the most exciting trends that's happening, and it's growing massively. You know, it's amazing. However, you can't do it for stuff that people don't want to buy on a subscription. You know, you've got to think very carefully about, well, would I buy this every month? Why would I buy this every month? So there's some businesses, we've got some clients selling men's tailoring, you know, men's clothing, formal clothing. And you know, we talked to Wow whether or not they should do shirts and on a subscription. You're like, well, okay, maybe. But maybe not. Would they buy a subscription on a shirt? You're like, well, I'm not really sure. And, you know, I think if you're in doubt, don't do it. It's got to be like an absolute no-brainer.
Well, I think, the good thing is that, you know, if you're selling around the world, you could probably see if people are making something work and you're selling your products. And if you can kind of go and look at their model now, you can look at their marketing, you can go, oh, that's actually interesting. I'm selling menswear. I didn't even think of doing a subscription on socks. You know, like, you know, and so they're making you work on socks. And maybe there's a section of the population that just need lots of socks because they go through lots of socks. But, you know,
I think that's it's knowing gift that as well, isn't it? There's that element too. There's a gifting, you know, to go and get a sock, you know, a new box of socks every month. It's quite fun. And you could do that as a gift.
Yeah.
But selling gifts online is notoriously hard, as we know.
Yeah. So, the other thing is building a community around it. So the lady who was doing the, you know, doubling her money and stuff, she hadn't got a community. So her next step was to, you know, bring everybody into a Facebook group and, you know, basically show what people are getting each month, having people kind of show their own unboxing videos, share their stories, and build everything into a community and show that, you know, you're actually looking after people and there's love there and all that kind of stuff. Because she'd actually bought this business, and she was reluctant to this at first because everybody had just been hammered and they'd just not been sold to in the right way and stuff. But if she could actually turn that around and turn that into, you know, getting customers to feel like they're part of a community, they're much more likely to stay for longer because they want to be part of that community, because it gives them something more than just being sold or sent those products in the box every month. You know, if you imagine you were on something, you know, so one of your hobbies, Ian, maybe, I don't know, like racing. You know, you had a subscription racing box or something. You know, you get the products, that's fair enough. But if you then jump onto a Facebook group and then talk about what you've been sent and maybe the books you've been sent or the information you've been sent with other people, that gives you a bit much bigger reason to kind of stay, because you want to be part of that discussion each month. And so,
yeah, well, you feel part of a member group. And of course, that makes you loyal. You know, you don't want to leave, because you don't want to go against the members. You know, and it's something you become identified with. You feel belonging.
Yeah, and it gives you some excitement, and people kind of, you know, like people say, oh, I didn't like this, or I like this and stuff like that, and you feel like you want to, you know, be part of that and help and all that kind of stuff.
And of course, you know, your customers do your marketing for you, don't you? And that's when you know you've got your branding bang on, is when your customers become, you know, the advocates for the brand. And that's wonderful.
And what you and can of course, do with these subscription businesses. Sorry, what? I was just going to say. You go.
Well, I would say what you can do when your customers become your, you know, the advocates for the brand is you can start to go and actually, you know, encourage that. I mean, there's businesses like Mention Me, which is a, you know, referral based business, which is very expensive, but there are, you know, lots of other ones there. But again, that's something, marketing method, that may not work in a traditional e-commerce business because you've only got them buying 1.5-2 times a year. But in a subscription one, you're like, my God, of course, it's a no brainer. You know, it massively works. So what you say?
Well, I've completely forgotten now. But basically, I was going to say that if you have a community and people are opening this box every month and they're talking about it, you can actually add prospects to that group. Because imagine going into a group of something you're interested in, and everybody else is opening these boxes and talking about it, and you're not. It's actually like getting your existing customers to sell to your new customers, and then people go, oh yeah, I'd like that. I'd like to be part of this. So you don't have to just add them to the group once they are already subscribers. You can actually use the group to sell to your new prospects as part of the flow. So you could have it on your chat bot and you say, oh, you're interested in buying this. Why don't you join our Facebook group and see everybody's experiences with the box each month? I mean, that's so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
it's
like
social proof, you know, it's trust, credibility, it's all the things that you know, we talk about all the time. You know, and it removes the anxiety, gives them anything they need.
It's
wonderful, because you know, the more customers you have, you know, that's where your brand comes from, is when you actually have customers, you know, which is why we talk about the offer architecture. Because you know, if you don't have any customers, you've got no brand, you've got no business. So you need to get people to buy. Once you get people to buy, you know, and they have a good experience, you know, that's when they start talking about your e-commerce site. So, you know, I think it goes without saying that, you know, the subscription businesses that work really well, fundamentally, it's got to be a good experience. It can't be sloppy delivery where, you know, the thing's thrown over the gate and it all comes damaged. And it's got to be a nice feeling, you know, because you could see the drop-off. Can't you otherwise?
And I think you can, you know, some businesses have been built by kind of like doing that recruitment offer and being a bit, you know, crafty with it and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, they're not the businesses you want to run. They're not the businesses you want to be part of. And, you know, if you're having to kind of, you know, lie a little bit with your recruitment offer, you know, and maybe mislead, that's not where you want to be, because that's always going to attract a certain type of person. If you want to go truly huge, everything has to be kind of resonating with everything else, and everything has to be kind of like working together. Because ultimately, if you can use your existing customers to recruit your new customers, it's going to be so much better, because people are going to be, who've been buying these boxes or being these subscription points, they've been burnt before. And so like, you're only going to get the people who've never been burned. And therefore, if you want to get the people who have been burnt before, putting them into a group and everybody else is like saying, this is wow, this is amazing, this is great, it's just going to rock it, because all those people are going to go there and say, I've actually found my thing, which I'm happy with now. So,
I think the best thing is, you know, go and, first of all, before you start thinking about any e-commerce subscription, go and have a look at the Crate Joy and see in your category, you know, whether or not there's people who are doing it well. You know, that's the first thing. You know,
is there a model?
To invest in some, you know, so don't go and look at any technology or any, you know, module on Magento or Shopify or whatever you're on, you know, because this is not a technical play here. You know, the technology will not make somebody buy a subscription just because you're going to offer it. You know, it's very much around the emotion and the normal buying characteristics of that person. You know, do they buy this every month or every quarter? And if the answer is no, then it's not going to work, and you're just going to waste time.
Yeah.
So there's a downer to end it on, isn't it? But basically, it's like we say with anything, you've got to get it right.
So when you find something that's doing well, that's in your industry, you know, to pick that model and to pay particular attention to their recruitment offer, because you'll find that the bigger ones will have got the recruitment offer down, and it'll be like, it'll almost sound like a no-brainer. So like, as you know, they'd be like, oh, I was going to buy one of these, but actually, if I go on the subscription, then I get this, and I'll probably unsubscribe by the second month, so I'll actually probably save money. And but then, of course, I'll get busy, and they probably won't. So, you know, that's something.
Well, they like it. They get it, and they go, wow, that's cool, that's brilliant. I've, you know, I've got this every, got this coming every month. That's awesome. You know what? I'll leave that. I like that. It's going to get again. That's what happens.
Yeah. But on any subscription, there's always going to be those people that, you know, they'll always tend to cancel a month or 2 months after they think they should do. And that's because you're putting the ball in the court of the customer to do so. And therefore, because it's on them, they'll probably let
than
they thought.
You know what, though? When people do drop off, and of course they will cancel, they're still prime, you know, just like they would be if they'd bought a product from you. They'd still be on your mailing list. Those customers may well come back again. They're probably most likely
They might subscribe to it when they're in the holiday season and then they're doing something and then slightly different lifestyle, you know, around that. And they might pick it up and pick it down. So you don't have to assume that they're gone forever. Yeah. But anyway, we'll sum up there. So basically, see whether or not there's people doing subscription boxes and things like that in your industry. See if there's a model that works, and have a look to see whether that can be added to your business. And then if you do go down it, make sure you've got the numbers right and you can understand, you know, what it costs to recruit your customers, see how long they stay on, and see whether you've got a license to print money, basically, to grow your business very quickly. So I hope you've enjoyed that and you've got a lot out of that, and you can see that potentially there's extra revenues for your business. But anyway, I'll speak to you next time, Ian.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.